would you like to find inner balance with energy healing? Hermann Petrick will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Hermann is he's an internationally renowned energy healer and spiritual guide with well over a decade of experience in holistic wellness and transformation. Now, first, tell us, what is energy healing and how can someone find inner balance with it?
Heal Podcast with Lily Petrescu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Right. So thanks for having me. Energy healing is simply healing your energetic body and your physical body. There's several ways to do it. I'm sure most people have heard of like Reiki, where, you know, you hover your hands and it sends energy. What I do is completely different to Reiki, but similar concept, where I connect with people's energy and I send healing. But the inner balance part is really about, you know, removing unwanted energies or energy blocks so that we can make a better connection to our true self. And the problem that most people have is making that connection to their true selves, because there's so many outside interferences with their energetic body that it creates a disconnection. So there's, if you think in terms of energy, everything around us is energy. Everything, you know, we're an energy ourselves. And there's what I like to call energetic parasites that attach to people as we go through life. And those parasites do create blockages and disconnections. But the main thing that they do is they feed on our energy, and they really manipulate our thoughts and our emotions. And so the energy healing part to help with inner balance is by extracting or removing those energetic parasites and removing blockages so that your energy can flow how it's meant to flow. And then once that energy is flowing, it's easier to work on your inner balance and things seem quite a bit more peaceful for you. So does that answer your question? It was kind of a long way around that, but
yes. Tell me, what are energy parasites? Is it like when we have some sort of trauma, do we get some sort of evil spirits? Is that what you're talking about? Or what are these energy parasites?
Not necessarily, but that can happen from time to time as well. So when we go through a trauma, a lot of times those traumas sometimes are hard for us to release. And so the traumas will stick with us for years to come, just kind of as something that's in the background that can create problems later. But when I talk about energetic parasites, they could be anything from, you know, entities like, there are several different names for them. I don't go into the details because to me, they're all parasites, but different religions have different names. Like there's demonic energy, there's jinns, there's spirit entities. There's probably a dozen different types of energies that attach to people and feed on their energy. However, I just view them all as an energetic parasite. So I don't give them the time of day to go into the details of what they are. I just remove them. It would be like if you had a mosquito on your back, the mosquito, and a friend sees it, they just wipe it off. They're not going to say, well, how long has that mosquito been there? What kind of mosquito is it? And what's the mosquito doing? And why is it on my back? It's a parasite. It's just trying to feed. So there's no need to get into all the details of it. So the work that I do, I work with people by connecting to their energy, removing all the energetic parasites, and then sending a little bit of healing to remove any blockages and cut connections and so forth.
So how do you know that there are energy parasites for a person, for example? Does everybody have these kind of energy?
Yeah, most people would have something in some form, and some are more aggressive, and some people handle them quite a bit differently. So it really depends on the person and the problems that they create. It's a very wide spectrum. An easy way to tell if you have an energetic parasite would be, let's say you're having nightmares, sleeping issues through nightmares or night terrors. That's an energetic parasite. Or you have these thoughts that are just keep reoccurring over and over and over and over. Or you have, which leads to like anxiety, which then can lead to like a depression. Other ways could be you're actually hearing voices that's not your own. So there's several different ways, or it could be a little more subtle, like you have a dull headache that's reoccurring on a regular basis. That from time to time is an energetic block. Sometimes it could even be like a migraine. I work with a lot of people that have a history of migraines, and after they've been working with me for a while, they'll message me from time to time, "Hey, Herman, I feel a migraine coming on. Can you help?" And then I'll send healing, and then the migraine doesn't happen. So it's about keeping the energy flowing. And those energy parasites kind of block our flow as well. So it's important to just keep things flowing.
Thank you. So, do these energy parasites cause problems in terms of, like, let's say you want to do a project or you want to run an event or you want to, I don't know, do something on your computer? Do they cause like issues, like, for example, the computer not working, the phone breaking, the, different issues that actually stop you from having flow in your life and business?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and part of my business model several years back was doing free consultations. And when I would set up calls for people, when I'm dealing with some really nasty energies that this person has attached to them, a lot of times there'll be a problem with the phone connection. It'll be going in and out. It'll cut off. Their computer won't work. It's those little things that you can just say, well, it's this, that, or the other. But it's happened so many times when I talk to people, I see a very definite pattern of the people not being able to connect with me because the energies know that the work that I do. And on top of that, when I do connect with the people, a lot of times just by me having a conversation with them, they feel so much better because the energies may have left without me intervening, just by them connecting with me, because something about my energy, these parasites, they try to avoid. So a lot of times when I'm talking to people, they'll either feel much better, or they'll be like really fidgety, and then sometimes there's extreme cases where people are like full on possessed, where different voice will come through the person's mouth, or so there's one side, and then there's a complete extreme side. Most of the people I work with, it's somewhere in the middle, but definitely there's a lot of sabotage going on for people in their lives, and I can explain why and how that works if you would like.
Yes. Yes, please.
So when I started doing this work, there was no instruction manual for me. I didn't go to school and say I'm going to be an energy healer. It just happened, and it was roughly about 15 years ago. But one of the things that I noticed, I was really paying attention to all the different types of energies in the beginning, and to me there was about 12 different types. And so I was paying attention to who had what and how many, which was kind of a worthless exercise. But what I found is certain people I were working with had a very specific type of energy that would attach to them. And it would that energy, if it's attached to them, I found always attaches right at birth. And this energy only attaches to specific types of people. And if you think about the world, if in very broad terms, there's two types of people. There's the givers and there's the takers. And so the people that are here to be the healers, the humanitarians, the people here to help everyone around them, they're the givers of the world, probably like someone like yourself. So you're always, a lot of times, you're probably helping people more than you're helping yourself, which is a problem in itself. But what happens when you take your first breath, when you're being born, this energy, I call it a fallen angel energy, it attaches to that person. And it attaches at birth for two different reasons. The first reason being, by doing so, it can really remain hidden. Most people don't recognize it or even know that it exists. It's very subtle, so it just like flies right under the radar. Now, the main reason that that energy attaches at birth is to try to keep that person disconnected from who they are. And how they do that is they create this internal battle. So it's like you have this internal battle happening, and it's just wearing you down energetically. Now, the more you're worn down energetically, the more susceptible you are to picking up stuff from your environment. And so by early adolescence, this really starts manifesting itself. And all of a sudden, your thoughts and your emotions are being manipulated. And if you think about it, say your early adolescence, 10, 12 years old, you're being guided by your thoughts and your emotions, just like everyone else. So, but these energetic parasites are manipulating and creating those thoughts and emotions. So it starts taking this person in the wrong direction energetically. So it's like you're constantly going in the wrong direction. Now, as you get older and wiser, you start to realize, oh, no, I need to be going this way. And it's like now you're going against that energetic flow. So nothing comes as easy as it should. It's like you're constantly running into roadblocks. You take one step forward, two steps back. And a lot of times when you feel like you're right on that edge or that cusp of having a breakthrough, that's when things will implode on themselves, creating more chaos and more distraction, all the while keeping you disconnected from doing what you're here to do, which is making that impact on the people around you. And so yes, there's a lot of sabotage. And there would be to the point where I've talked to people that were bedridden because of this energy, because they're really close to doing something big. Anytime you have something big about to happen in your life, it comes crashing down when you have these energies, and in a lot of cases. And I can give you a quick example. There was a lady about 10 years ago I was working with. She was very sensitive and she was suffering from paralysis. During the day, she would freeze up for 10 or 15 minutes at a time and couldn't move. And this was happening about 5 to 6 times a week, for 10 to 15 minutes at a time. She went to several doctors. They're like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's psychological. Well, she heard about me. And when I do my work, I don't schedule it with the person. I do all the work on my own. And I don't even tell the person when I'm going to do it. And that's by design. But with this particular lady, as soon as I did the work, immediately within seconds, she sent me a text and said, I felt it. It came right out of my back. I felt the energy come out of my back. And ever since then, she's never had paralysis ever again. But what that paralysis was doing was causing her or keeping her from doing what she was meant to be doing, whatever that is for her, because everyone's different. And I can't tell people what they're here to do, but when you have that real connection to your hard self or your true self, you have a better understanding of, I'm here to do this, that, or the other. This is what my purpose is. But a lot of times we're just so disconnected that we don't really know what our purpose is. And we're just kind of being guided by our thoughts and we're being guided by our emotions, when in fact, most of the time, those thoughts and emotions are manipulated. So that's really my take on the sabotage. It's very real and it happens on a regular basis. And sometimes on a big scale, sometimes on a little scale. It just depends on the person and the type of energy that's attached to them.
Thank you. One interesting thing, for example, today I was interviewing this bishop that's very successful, multi-million dollar guy that built a multi-million dollar organization. And he was talking about something really interesting. And then my computer actually was switching off. Like as he was like completing, I just had maybe like 10 more minutes of talking to him, and then my computer switched off, and I realized like the connection to the wall was not strong enough, and somehow the computer was like ran out of power, and I think that is quite interesting that this happened. And the other thing that happened that was quite interesting is that I was speaking to a guy that had multiple nine-figure businesses that had sold minimum $500 million each. And then what happened? I was staying in this hotel, and then the entire floor ran out of electricity. And then, he had spoken for about 45 minutes, and then we were just like wrapping up and about to like have the final thing about, okay, how to contact you and all these different things. And I was unable to get him back online, like, because the electricity didn't come back in time. He was willing, but somehow was unreachable. And then his PR was unreachable and this kind of thing. So it didn't quite work. The other thing is, for example, in December, I had really high hopes of like getting a lot of the books that I had, that I had hoped to publish for a while. And then my assistant, her computer broke, and then like a lot of little delays, that I was kind of like not expecting to have. And I find that this kind of self-sabotage thing happens a lot, like where I am like, on the edge of a massive, massive breakthrough. And then something really little happens that has like a massive impact on everything. And I'm wondering, like, how do you stop it? And I'm sure the answer will be, okay, work with me. And you know, the interesting thing is I've had energy healing from different healers before, and I have never experienced what you're talking about in terms of like having, let's say, like a spirit somehow like come out of me or feel anything like that. Like, I've had Reiki healing and I've had healing from like two other healers, but never have experienced that. So I'm assuming that the kind of energy healing that you do, it must be different to what I've already had. But is there anything else someone can do to stop this self-sabotage? Because I find I self-sabotage a lot. Like, I get these kind of like really influential multimillionaires come to me. And I mean, I have a podcast. My main podcast is Awaken Titans, where I interview them. And then, and I mean, but often, you know, for example, like I had one guy came to me and he's looking to buy 1,000 properties in Dubai. And I connected him. And I mean, I made like a list of all the different realtors that had exactly the kind of deals he wanted. He never actually reached out to them, you know? And it's just kind of like, it feels like a lot like how you said, being like on the cusp of something really big and then not being quite there. And I'm not sure if it's because like something I need to grow, I need to be doing something else because I need to be hitting against the wall in this one so I can really tap into what I'm supposed to do. And that's really the reason why I'm hitting against this, or whether I have some sort of energy parasite that is preventing me from achieving my goals.
Yeah, and it could be a couple of different things. But to answer your question on the energy healing you had in the past, I don't know what it was, but that energy that I was speaking to, what I call the fallen angel energy, what I said about it being very subtle and flying under the radar, most people don't recognize that as an energetic parasite or an outside entity. They view it as an aspect of who you are. So 99% of the energy healers wouldn't even notice that energy exists. Now, if that energy is the root issue, which I believe it is, it's like you'd have energy healing and they're plucking the flowers, but not pulling the roots. It's like a dandelion. If you don't pull the root, it's going to pop back up. And so to me, the root issue is getting rid of that fallen angel energy that's really embedded in there, because it's been there from day one, from your first breath. And again, it's very subtle. And so to me, that's a very clear indication that you're here to make this impact, but you're being held back by this energy. Now, that doesn't mean you can't overcome it yourself, because a lot of people do overcome it. But I guess the question would be, you know, what is it that you're here to do? You know, you're here to make an impact on some level. And it could be whatever. It doesn't matter. It could be just helping people understand the different topics you're talking about. So really, to me, when we work on our inner balance, our perspective shifts a little bit, because we have this, everything's running exactly how it should in our bodies, and we don't have these blockages, and we start feeling better energetically. And then that's when things start to unfold for us just naturally without being forced. And then people start coming into your life, like these, you know, people you were talking about, the bishop and these other people, they just start coming out of the woodworks, and you start connecting with all these different type of people that then get you over that. You know, when you said you're on the cusp, you might just find that all of a sudden that starts working out for you. So to me, the difference is that root cause is still there, and it's been there from day one. And so until you get rid of that, I mean, yes, you can do it without getting rid of that. You functioned your whole life with it. It's not going to, you know, things will just get easier for you if you can remove that. But then if you think of terms of energy, and everything is energy around us, your environment plays a big role. If you're in a toxic environment, you're going to pick up more and more of these energetic parasites just because of the environment that you're in. Like I'll give you an easy example for that. So nurses or doctors that work in hospitals, they typically, at least in the States, they work long shift work, right? So they'll work 12-hour shifts, 7 days, and then they'll have 7 days off, and then they'll, you know. And so when you're worn down and tired, your energy is lower. When your energy is lower, it's easier to pick up stuff. hospitals have a very toxic environment because it's a lot of sickness, sorrow, fear, death. And so you're working 12-hour shifts, you're not getting enough sleep. Nurses are usually, there's not enough of them, so you're doing the job for two people. And so you're picking up all of these energetic parasites that are just creating this compounding effect on your energy. And over time, it builds and builds and builds until it really implodes on itself. So your environment plays a big role. Now, when I talk about inner balance, when you do things for yourself and you work on yourself, you become stronger energetically. And when you're stronger energetically, it's hard for these energies to attach and connect. It's when we're weakened and we're worn down. So we're not getting enough sleep. We're not eating the right foods. We're not taking time for ourselves to do the things that we like or that we love. We're just go, 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 go. And a lot of people like yourself, believe it or not, you're giving yourself away to everyone else before you're giving to yourself. It's like when you fly on an airplane and they give you the safety briefing, put on your mask before your child's mask. We're running around putting on everyone's mask while we're running out of oxygen. It's the same thing energetically. We're running around helping everyone else without recharging our own batteries. We're putting everyone else first. So to work on yourself is really important so that you're in a better position to make a bigger impact on the people around you. And too many times, people that are the givers of the world are too busy giving themselves away. But they can't give, they're losing the energy to give away because they don't have it themselves. So it's really important to focus on your own inner balance. And there's several ways you can do that. For me, I take simply 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening and just sit in silence and focus on breathing. As a thought pops into my head, I don't chase it. I go back onto what does it feel like breathing in and breathing out? Just simple little things like that. It calms the mind and helps connect you back to your heart space. And that's really where the magic starts to happen. And then when you're doing that, and the other tip is always pay attention to your thoughts and your emotions. Don't just assume that they're coming from you. Don't own them as your own. Question, where's that thought coming from? That's weird. That's not serving me. Or what's this emotion? I don't need that. Don't chase them. Don't chase them, you know? And so that's one of the other keys. So does that make sense and answer your question?
Yes. So to have a lot more self-care, what other techniques are there so that I would start to put the oxygen on myself before other people? Because I do think that I'm trying to help everyone and I'm not helping myself as much. What would that look like if I did help myself more? Is it that I have to heal this potential energy that I might have that might actually steal all of my energy? And then because of that, I don't actually have enough energy to even give to myself and to others. And is that the core of what your message?
Well,
Or is it
it's not
some other
nece
techniques as well?
it's not necessarily, to me, it is the core issue, but it's not necessarily the only thing and the only way. There's always multiple ways. But think of your body as this supercomputer, and there's this energy that's running in the background that's wearing down your battery on your laptop. It's always running in the background. It's slowly draining your battery. That's what this energetic parasite would be doing. So what you have to do is you have to charge your battery, charge your battery, charge your battery. And the way you charge your battery is getting good sleep for one, and doing things that you love, things that make you happy. But more importantly, prioritizing that for yourself. And so a lot of people, you know, a very hard question for a lot of people is what makes you happy? You know, do the things you love. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? It seems like it should be a very easy question, but it's a hard question, especially for someone like yourself or me, because we're so busy taking care of everyone else, we forget about, oh, what makes me happy? And so the only way to get that answer is to really take time and just breathe and sit still and really try to understand who you are. And where my work helps people like you is not only by removing the parasites that are draining your energy, but it's also everyone you connect with. So you're doing podcast interviews, you're interacting with people all over the place. Anytime you interact with someone, you gain what's called a cord connection, an energetic connection where we're connected. And sometimes those connections can be detrimental to your energetic health. Like it wears you down. It's like, again, think of your computer. When your computer starts running slow and sluggish because the memory is too full, because there's so many connections, you've been to so many websites and so many programs, and your cache is full and you got all these cookies. And so what do? You restart your computer, clear the cache, and then it starts running more optimally. Well, we don't do that for ourselves. So why won't we do that for ourselves? It's because you're running around with all these people hooked into your energy. And sometimes they're stealing your energy through those connections. And so it's hard to really work on your inner balance when you have all these outside connections hooking into you. And sometimes people aren't doing it on purpose. I'm sure you and your listeners, for the most part, I'm sure you know someone that when you talk to, it's like they're constantly, when you're done with the conversation, you feel really worn out and tired. It's because they just zapped your energy. And so you got to free yourself from all of those connections. And that's part of working on your inner balance, is cutting all of those connections so that you have your own energy. And that's where I come in and help people with that.
Oh, that is quite interesting. So let's say if I go to an event, generally I find myself very much uplifted by meeting hundreds of people, especially mm-hmm. at certain conferences, not at all conferences, because I do kind of, I'm not sure if to call it read people's energy, but definitely feel people, you know, mm-hmm. and there are people that I am very drawn to, and there are others that no, I'm not. And I find that usually after an event, I am so drained, like I need like a week to recover. And it sounds ridiculous because most people don't have a week to recover. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do have a week to recover, but I find it quite interesting. Is that why I am so tired? Is it because as I am like creating all of these energetic cords, some people are actually zapping some of my energy and others mm-hmm. are not?
Exactly. For sure. And it sounds to me like you're what's called an empath. I'm sure you've heard that term before, where an empath in particular absorb a lot of other people's energy. But again, think of it like your computer. If your computer's overloaded and bogged down, you have to hit the reset button. You know, it's that simple. So you have to work on yourself so that you're stronger when you go into those meetings. And even just because you're an empath, you're still going to feel a little tired after. You might enjoy it and like connecting with people, but you're still going to feel a little tired just because so many people are in the room and your energy is just getting pulled in so many different directions. And I know a lot of empaths that don't like to go into crowds because it just messes with them too much. And it's the wrong answer. You know, you should be able to do things like go into crowds and interact with people, but sometimes it's a little bit too much for people. But doing simple exercises for yourself, like let's say you go to a meeting, you can work on cutting your own cord connections yourself. It's a very simple process. It's all about setting your intent to do what you want to do. And so let's say you go to this meeting. I'll give you a tip on how to cut your own cord connections and see if it energizes you quicker or not. When you go to this big event and you had a great time, the next day, that evening or the next morning, do this cord cutting exercise. And it sounds so silly and it's so easy and simple, but it works every time. But remember, it's all about your intent. So just sit in silence, do some breathing, breathe in and out about a dozen times, and then visualize these like cables or cords coming out of the crown of your head, and visualize them, you know, kind of spinning in a circle, and then visualize yourself taking a big pair of scissors or lopping shears and just cutting it. And you're basically visualizing yourself cutting your cord connections with anyone that you just interacted with, and then visualize that cord spinning really quickly and then resetting back into your energy body. And that's all there is to it. It's that simple. But you have to be in a place where, you know, you're breathing, you're connected, and your intention is very clear, because it's all about setting your intent on cutting those. And using that visualization helps cut those cords.
Thank you. What will be the impact of energy cord cutting
on the relationships you're going to have. Because, for example, let's say if I want to build a really great relationship with a billionaire that I just met at the event, like, do I still want to cut that cord? Imagine 100%. I'm going to an event where there's, you know, nine-figure millionaires, there's like investors that have invested in 20 companies. There's like a lot of people I want to maintain that great relationship with and keep it as warm as possible. I don't want them to forget me. I don't want to be like in this, kind of create a relationship that is just like, hello, hello, and that's it. So it will still have a great impact even if I do this exercise.
Yeah, for sure. And you don't want to keep a core connection with someone because you feel like it's going to benefit you, or it's going to benefit them having that energetic connection. You know the person, you guys will interact again. You just don't need to be feeding on that person's energy. And more importantly, they don't need to be feeding on your energy. So I wouldn't stress about your connections by cutting the energetic connections. You're not cutting those people out of your life, so to speak. But what you're doing is you're protecting your own energy so that you can work on yourself and achieve that inner balance. It's going to make you feel a lot better. And I'm telling you, when you have that inner balance going, your intuition becomes so much more heightened, and so that's another thing. You know, you probably have a pretty good intuition yourself, but right now you're somewhat disconnected from all of the connections from people and the energetic parasites. There's so many things that just kind of jam up your system. It's time for a reset, hit the restart button. And I recommend doing that, several times a year. But it just depends on the person and how active you are and how you feel. I don't know, obviously don't know you personally. We just met on this platform, but I'm sure there's a few things you're going through, whether it's, not sleeping so well because you have thoughts running, or you're chasing, to get this person on your show or want to get here, or, when you really got to just go internally, relax and do things for yourself. And then that's when you start to achieve that inner balance. And then it's interesting, the things that mattered so much before don't quite matter as much. Different things start to matter that become a little bit more meaningful.
That is so interesting. Tell us about some clients that you've worked with where you've had some impact in their inner balance with energy healing. How did that work?
So most people I work with, I'd like to think I have an impact on. And keep in mind, people come to me when they're really struggling. So I'll work with people, and I typically will work with families, but there'll be a specific issue. Someone's having severe nightmares every night. It's easy. After I do my work, they don't have the nightmares. That's kind of the whole point. Someone's hearing voices, or someone has severe depression, or this or that. It just varies. So once I do my work, I typically get the feedback on how they're feeling. The most common thing that people tell me is, oh, I feel so much lighter. Well, it's because we've just removed a bunch of blockages and just exited a bunch of stuff out of your system. I have thousands of client stories. I have some very severe cases, and I have some very easy, light-minded cases. I have a lady I was working with last year. She has a horse, a derby horse or whatever. I don't even know what that means, but the horse had cancer in its eye, and she asked me to do healing for this horse, and I did, because I work on animals as well. And then the eye fixed, no more cancer in the eye. So I'm not saying that I have the ability to just heal people in their cancers, but there's some crazy cases where I didn't even know that the horse was having that issue until after I did the work. And she just said, can you work on my horse? He's not feeling right. And then 6 months later, she's like, he's fixed. He had cancer in his eye and it's gone. So there's little things like that. I do work with a lot of empaths. I had a lady that worked for a police department she was an investigator of violent crimes, but she was needing energy work every day because she was working in such a toxic environment, and she was in and out of the hospital. She couldn't put on weight. She was always sick. It's because her energy was constantly being attacked. And being an empath, she's absorbing all of these people she's working with's energy, and these people are like child molesters and murderers and, you know, whatever. And so it really made a huge impact on her when I started working with her. It really fixed all of her health issues. You know, 6 months later, it's not just a quick, everything's perfect, but, you know, 6 months later, she's like, I don't have to go to the hospital. I feel so much better. I can do my job without worrying about, you know, all of the horrible things sticking to me. So, and that's another little example. So, but everyone's different and everyone's going through something differently. And it could be things that you don't even think about. Sometimes I'll work on, do some energy healing for someone, and then all of a sudden they're, an old injury will start hurting really bad from several years ago for a few days. And it's just sending healing to that part of the body that hasn't quite healed. So there's a lot of unknowns to it, but it makes a big impact on the people I work with.
Thank you. How long does it normally take for someone to see an improvement? And how long did it take in the past for some of your clients to completely get healed from a particular condition that they had?
So it depends on the person and the symptoms. So like, it's very easy, like if someone has insomnia and can't sleep, because that's usually fixed day one, day two. You know, the voices is usually is pretty quick. Things that are harder to judge would be like someone that has severe depression. They're not going to notice it for a few weeks. And sometimes even the people around them will notice they've shifted more than they'll shift themselves. So it varies by person, but typically the result, you should notice a result within the first few days. But a lot of times it'll take months for things to manifest, and it depends on the individual. So again, I want to use a computer analogy. If your computer has all these viruses and bugs and you take it to the computer store and they fix it and they hand it back to you, you go to the same websites, run the same programs, you're probably going to pick up the same bugs and viruses. So it's really about getting everything reset and then changing the direction or changing your habits, so to speak. Because I'm telling you, these energetic parasites manipulate our thoughts and our emotions. So we're being guided by subtly by these energies. And so you take those out of the mix, we're starting to be guided from our heart space. Then things slowly start to work better for you. But then if you're in an environment where you constantly in toxic environment, you're going to pick up a few more here and there. So it's a daily maintenance thing. You have to do things for yourself to keep your energy up, to keep yourself connected to who you are. And when you know what it feels like, you'll feel it when you pick up an energetic attachment. I have what I call a membership program, where I've had clients on there for 10 plus years, and it's a very small fee, but they can reach out to me anytime. And I get people texting me, "Herman, clear my energy," because they feel it immediately when they pick something up. And then when I do the work, they notice a massive difference. So it's not one and done. It's maintenance on yourself. Another quick analogy would be like a dog or a cat with fleas. If you just get rid of the fleas from the cat, fleas are probably in the house. You got to get rid of the fleas in the house. And then if the cat keeps going to the same field, picking up the same fleas, bringing them back to the house, what are you going to do? You're going to put a flea collar on or a drop to stop the fleas. It's the same sort of thing. You have to figure out ways to protect yourself from picking up these parasites, especially if you're in an environment that's full of fleas. You're going to get bit by a flea unless you do something to protect yourself. It's that simple. It really is.
I love your analogies. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you and people who might need healing.
So my website, hermanpietrick.com, just hit the contact button, send me a message. I'm happy to do a free 15-minute consultation with anyone that wants to have a conversation with me first. A lot of times I work on people without speaking to them. And then I like to speak with the people after I work on them, maybe a week to 2 weeks later, so that they can give me their feedback and tell me, because I don't need to, if someone has something going on specifically, I don't need to know. I mean, it can be helpful, but I don't need to know, because when I do my work, it's blasting everything. But then when I have a follow-up conversation with them a couple of weeks after I've done the work, if there's any other specifics, that's when it's time to give me the specifics. Like, say they have a bad neck or a knee or this, or they have something wrong with this. I can dive in and focus specifically on that. But initially, it's a very broad stroke. Clear the energies from the person, send healing that I feel like they need, and then let it settle for a week or so. Then have a conversation. They tell me how much they're feeling better, but they still may have this or that. And then I can, tackle those little issues.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.